So let us pray. Dear Father God, be with us as we explore your word this morning, and may the words of my mouth be more of you than they are of me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As Steve said, this is the next in our series on men who make mistakes and God's grace. And it's all about a man named Saul. But the passage that we had read to us, it's really hard for our ears to hear and for our hearts to understand. So I found a video. It's only 3 minutes, so it's not long. And I have to warn you that some of the things said in this clip, they might prick a memory or two in your mind. And I'm sorry if that happens, but I need to set the scene for today's sermon. And this video does it really well. So when James and Colin are ready to play it and we can hear it, that'd be fantastic.
For a $100 bill, the winner of this race will take this. It's a $100 bill. Before I say go, I'm going to make a couple statements. If those statements apply to you, I want you to take 2 steps forward. If those statements don't apply to you, I want you to stay right where you're at. Take 2 steps forward if both of your parents are still married. Take 2 steps forward if you grew up with a father figure in the home. Take 2 steps forward if you had access to a private education. Take 2 steps forward if you had access to a free tutor growing up. Take 2 steps forward if you've never had to worry about your cell phone being shut off. Take 2 steps forward if you've never had to help mom or dad with the bills. Take 2 steps forward if it wasn't because of your athletic ability, you don't have to pay for college. Take 2 steps forward if you never wondered where your next meal was going to come from. I want you guys up here in the front just to turn around and look. Every statement I've made has nothing to do with anything any of you have done. Has nothing to do with decisions you've made. Everything I have said has nothing to do with what you've done. We all know these people up here have a better opportunity to win this $100. Does that mean these people back here can't race? No. We would be foolish to not realize we've been given more opportunity. We don't want to recognize that we've been given a head start. But the reality is we have. Now, there's no excuse. They still got to run their race. You still got to run your race. But whoever wins this $100, I think it'd be extremely foolish of you not to utilize that and learn more about somebody else's story. Because the reality is, if this was a fair race and everybody was back on that line, I guarantee you some of these black dudes would smoke all of you. And it's only because you have this big of a head start that you're possibly going to win this race called life. That is a picture of life, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing you've done has put you in the lead that you're in right now. When I say go, on your mark, get set, go! If you didn't learn anything from this activity, you're a fool.
It's a very sobering and it's a very hard video to watch. But 58 million people around this world have watched that video And it's made them wake up to the reality of their life, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. Now, you might be wondering, what on earth has this got to do with a guy called Stephen and another one called Saul, who lived in first century Palestine? Well, actually, it's got quite a lot to say. You see, Saul would have been one of those people who, when asked to take two steps forward, he could have done so for every single question. He had received the best education, free of charge. Then, because he seemed quite a smart lad, he'd begin access to extra tuition. He never had to worry about paying the bills or providing for his family. He was the golden child of his generation. People saw in him huge amounts of potential as a leader, a wise counselor, a good Jew who knew how to uphold the law and their traditions. And as such, the door was held wide open for him to join and belong to a group of elite scholars who spent all their time looking for and interpreting scripture because they felt it was an important job to do. It was their role to keep Israel on the straight and narrow of their faith, and they were tasked to look for signs of the coming Messiah. Saul was a Pharisee, and it's claimed by some he was already affiliated to something called the Sanhedrin, which was a group of 71 people who ruled and judged everybody in Jerusalem on behalf of the occupying Roman forces. That is a lot of privilege. That is a lot of potential power. Now, if anybody had a chance of winning that $100 bill, Saul would have been right up there. He would be what we call in today's world a winner. And then we have Stephen. Now, we don't know a lot about Stephen. All we know is, and I'm quoting this directly from the NIV, he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That, and that he chose to help to bring food and money and help to the poor and widowed in the church. And we also know that he was getting very cross with the leaders and rulers of the city for making it so hard for those people who don't have all that privilege to get access to the same rites and the same places of worship as everybody else. Stephen, I would imagine, didn't have an education beyond 12. Most young boys back then left school at that age. They had to work for the family business. They had to provide. Most boys like Stephen didn't get private educations or tutors. So when he saw or heard of Jesus, he listened and he soaked up that teaching. Seeing in it, from the scraps of what little education he'd got, that Jesus was the Messiah, the one promised to him from long ago, who would come and make a way for him and for many others to get back into being into a right relationship with God. And it transformed his life. He became a man full of faith and a man filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that wise counselor which Jesus promised he'd send to instruct and inspire all of God's people. Now, if Stephen had been one of those chaps or women in the video, I doubt he'd got more than a few steps off of the starting line, because that was the reality of the life he had to live. But that never stopped him from taking the gift of life and living it to the full, running that race not for his own personal gain. He'd never get to the sort of $100 bill kind of line of life. It didn't matter though. It wasn't about money and all that that could bring. That wasn't his priority. He ran his race for the sake of God and God's people. And it was in doing that that cost him. Because he was trying so hard to get better conditions for the poor and the widow. But strangely enough, you know, that wasn't why the court dragged him out of town and stoned him. He'd have been punished, for sure. Because what he was saying was considered inflammatory and against their faith. So he'd have got 39 lashes of a whip for saying what he said that day, which is horrendous, but not deadly. Now, the reason he was stoned, what really pushed the Sanhedrin over the edge, was he shared with them a picture from God, which confirmed Jesus was the Messiah. Stephen shared his picture, his vision, in front of the very same court that had condemned Jesus to death on the cross. Do you know what his picture was? I have seen heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That was it. And Stephen had the audacity to tell them, those, the ones with the learning and the power and the influence who were there, they were the ones that set the agenda, the rules of how to be and how to live. They told them, he said to them, you've missed the Messiah coming. Not only have you missed the Messiah coming, you've killed him. And as we have seen before, when faced with the truth, those in error will either accept the message or seek to silence the messenger, sometimes permanently. And this is what happened to Stephen. In what seemed to me like a frenzied attack, they rushed at Stephen, hurled him off to the outskirts of town and stoned him. So what was Saul's mistake then? In all of this, we're talking about Saul today. In the Bible that I was reading as I was preparing this, it just said he looked after a few coats. Is that such a great mistake? Okay, he then went on to haul folk out of their houses and put them in prison. Oh, but he was only joining in with what his peers and his friends were doing, wasn't he? So what was Saul's mistake? He was a fool. That was his mistake. He took all the advantages that his life had afforded him. He was winning in life. And he'd taken that privilege, that sort of equivalent of a $100 bill, and he'd squandered it. He could and should have listened to Stephen. If he'd used the education he'd been given, the one-to-one lessons on scripture he'd received, the time that had been given to him to learn and discern God's will, he would have recognized the word of God coming out of Stephen's mouth that day. And he would have run to him and defended him. He could have used... He might not have, but he could have used his position of power and authority to stand between the Sanhedrin and Stephen and make a case for this man who was in need of his help. But instead, he stood on the outer edges of the court, looking on, looking for another opportunity to gain influence and prestige. Looking after the coats of the Sanhedrin, pushing away all that he knew, all that he'd been taught, just to fit in and be part of the elite. On that day, He chose to spend that privilege on himself and not use it for the benefit of others less able or privileged than himself. So his mistake was, he was a fool, a selfish, privileged fool. But did that stop God from coming to meet him where he was, full of anger and hate, pride and power lust? No. He met him in person as Jesus on a road, blinded him with the reality of who God was and who Saul was, and said, come, follow me. Stop hunting my people and start saving them. And Saul did that. We know that. We've got so many letters of his in the Bible. So what can Saul's mistake teach us today? Well, I think the answer to that is quite simple. We need to be honest and recognize that we are all in this race of life. And the reality is, the playing field is not even or even fair. It just isn't. But we still have to run this race. But we also need to recognize and utilize any or all of the privileges that we may have or that we might be given in the future, and not squander them. We need to actively seek out ways to use them for the benefit of all people. It might be worth pondering this week. What privileges, what gifts have we been given through life circumstances or spiritually by God as a disciple of Jesus? And where in this life that we live and in the mission and the life of St. Mary's, do you know, even wider into Rushton and beyond, where can we use them for the betterment of others? You always found Jesus walking with and talking to and hanging out with those the rest of the world chose to ignore or hate. And he did that to instruct us and to show us that we could do that too. We need to sit up and take notice of those around us who do not have any of the things that we have, that don't have the same level of opportunities that we have had or may have in the future. And we need to look to those gifts and those good things and say to ourselves, now how can I use them to help or enable someone or something in our community? Because there's a lot of people still standing on the starting line of life that need to be enabled to move on and forward in their race of life. They need a family to care for them. They need mentors to look up to. They need to be told they are amazing, beautiful, and wonderful, because no one has ever given them unconditional love. Sorry. There are many people in our world that never get a chance to learn. And there are many people who never know from one day to the next if they'll have a meal. And those people live in and amongst us. They are not miles and miles away. We know that we've got friends and neighbours and loved ones who have never heard or seen the gospel lived out amongst them. We know this. When Saul felt the full effect of God's presence, he fell on his face and felt awful, afraid and sorry, But he didn't stay there. He got up and he took the help that was offered and moved towards God, not away from him. His life was transformed. He took all the privilege that he had and he used it to show people the way to Jesus. He no longer squandered his life or his gifts. He gave it all for Jesus to use how he saw fit. Happy to make a fool of himself for God's sake, but no longer a selfish, privileged fool out for personal glory. He ran his race for the glory of God, and all we can do is try and do the same. Amen.